Good evening and welcome to Unusual Sources. This is Jessica speaking, and we have a great show coming up for you. We're going to get right into it. Our first interview is with Karen Spring. She's with Rights Action. She's in Honduras, and we're going to be asking her for an update on what's going on there, because it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked about Honduras on the show. Hi, Karen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi there.
Okay, great. Welcome back to the show. If our listeners remember, we had Karen here a couple weeks ago to talk about an event at McMaster University regarding the coup in Honduras. So Karen, last time we spoke to you, Zelaya, I believe, was still in the embassy, and we weren't really sure what was going to happen next. So can you give us a short update of where Zelaya is now?
Okay, President Zelaya is still actually in the embassy. He has been unable to leave. There was the elections in Honduras on this Sunday, so November 29th, approximately 2 or 3 days ago. And, I mean, the resistance movement didn't call it the elections. They called it an event, the event that was happening on November 29th. So now the election results have been announced, but Zelaya still remains in the embassy. Although today the Congress is supposedly they're meeting to discuss whether he should be reinstated or not. I have not heard any news, but that is what is happening today, and the focus is on whether they will discuss whether he'll be put back in power or not.
Okay, great. I'd like to get a little bit about the election. You mentioned that you don't really see it as an election. So what were some of the problems that occurred during the election?
Well, first with the elections, I think it's important to look at the elections and the context in which in which Honduras is in right now. 5 months ago, there was a military coup here. And so in the last 5 months, there has been a lot of repression. There's been a lot of human rights violations, a lot of deaths, a lot of illegal detentions, and just the country is heavily militarized. And so when you talk about having elections, when 5 months prior to the elections have been this massive repressive environment for people, you know, there's no way you can have democratic elections and free and fair elections when you have that sort of context going on in this country. And so the elections did happen on Sunday. Rights Action Physician, the organization I work for, we in no way recognize the elections or believe that there can be fair and free elections in this country, as well as the resistance movement. They sort of themselves, they called a toque de queda, which is a curfew, for the day of the elections, and many people did not go to vote and said they remained in their houses away from the repression that they streets by the military against the people that were protesting, and as well they didn't.
Oh, Karen, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
here. I think the call it got dropped for a second. Okay. Great. So, what were some of the things that because you're there? Did you personally witness repressions going on during the election?
Yes. I didn't spend the elections. I wasn't in the capital for the elections. Instead, I went to a rural area. It's called La Esperanza, and it's in the central western part of the country. And so La Esperanza, there is an indigenous organization that is very well known in the region as well as that area of the country. It's called COPIN, the Civic Council of Indigenous and Popular Organizations. And so my purpose of being in La Esperanza with three other people that were there that came to Honduras specifically to observe the elections was to basically accompany this organization because they feared that their office and their training center that they have there, as well as their family members and the leaders of the organization, were going to be directly targeted by the repression. And so what I noticed when I was there, I walked around the day of the elections as well as accompanied some people in that organization. And the repression that I saw that I experienced in a rural area away from the Capitol, although I heard many reports of people being shot, there was a man shot the night before the elections in the Capitol, and just massive, there was reports that in other parts of the country, communities were being surrounded by the military because they have had a history of being very against the coup and organizing strongly against the coup government. And so when I was in this rural area, what I experienced was just this heavily militarized town. And even though it was in a rural area, it wasn't in the capital, there was just military everywhere. There was police blockades. You know, a car that I was in was pulled over, and we had to show our papers and everything, even to enter La Esperanza. And there was military guarding where the elections material were being held on Saturday, the day before the elections. And there was a military man with a tear gas canister hanging from his chest. And this was sort of, the government is trying to, illegal government is trying to give the impression that these were fair and free elections when the town itself that I was in was so heavily militarized. This just wasn't during the day before the elections. This was during the elections. So when I went and I went to the voting centers the day of the elections, there was military men there with heavily armed military. There was police walking the streets in groups of four or five military or police, and then military men with big guns, you know, patrolling the streets in cars. And so that was the environment these so-called elections were happening under. And so that was just what was happening in the area I was in. But, of course, there's reports from all over the country of the repression and the militarization of many of the areas, and including the voting centers where people were actually entering to cast their vote.
So what were the results of these elections? And also, are there any indication of voter turnout? Because you're saying that there was all of this intimidation going on.
Well, with regards to voting, how many people went out to vote, it's kind of been this sort of, and different people are reporting different things. It's turned into this number game, where, you know, this is how many people went out. You know, the coup-supporting newspapers reported that 1.7 million Hondurans voted. But then the National Front Against the Coup is voting, or is saying that, and this is the numbers that we support, that there was 65% abstention rate in the country, nationwide. And so it's difficult to say what are the actual numbers. This is a country of about almost 800 or 8 million people. And, you know, even the coup supporting papers are saying 1.7. So, I mean, it can turn into this number game. But for me, I felt like it was very obvious that a lot of people stayed home to vote. Or they stayed home and they didn't go to vote. And so they're saying 65% abstention rate of people that did not participate. And that's what the National Front Against the Coup and the resistance movement say, that it was a victory for them, that many people refused to vote and, you know, go out and say, okay, we're going to participate. So the election results were announced on Sunday night, and so the result was Pepe Lobo, who is a National Party candidate. He won the presidency. Obviously we can't forget this is elections under an illegal government. You know, these elections should not be recognized. But basically, those were the results of the event that happened on Sunday. And just, it's important to keep in mind that Pepe Lobo is very much part of the elitist.
Okay. Sorry, Karen. I think there's some interference going on. Can you hear me all right?
To enter a new destination number, press 1.
Okay,
to redial the last number dialed,
press 2.
Okay, I guess
we may have lost Karen. We'll quickly maybe go to some music, and we'll try to get her back on the line. Hello, and we're back with Unusual Sources. We've got Karen back on the line. I'm sorry to our listeners, but sometimes when you're calling Honduras, there are some technical difficulties. So we have her back on the line, and hopefully we won't have any more of these difficulties. So Karen, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great. So I guess where we left off, we were talking about the election results and how they were sort of invalid. How did these elections work under the, like, are they constitutionally valid? Like, is it going to be an accepted result under the law in Honduras?
I think at this point it's difficult to say. I think what is probably most important is how international governments respond. So the United States has come out to say that, I believe the statement was, it was a significant step, but it wasn't sufficient, the elections. And I know they're kind of wavering in what they say with regards to how, if they will or will not recognize the elections. But in terms of Honduran constitutionality, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, these are elections that happen every 4 years, and they're set by the Constitution of Honduras, which was why it was controversial to change the date, even though it was very much needed. So I think what ultimately matters is what governments come out to support or recognize the elections and the results and sort of what happens between now and January 27th, when Zelaya officially is supposed to step down from power.
Yes, because technically he still is supposed to be the president, right, under law. And as you mentioned before, there was a vote in the Congress, I believe it was today, to try to get him reinstated. How is this process going, and what do you think the outcomes of this vote may be?
It's still very unclear, because this is something that they've sort of, that was supposed to happen today. This morning in front of the Congress, there was a large gathering by the resistance movement to sort of show their support for this discussion that the congressmen were supposed to, and women were supposed to have today. So there hasn't been any results announced for if they actually did discuss the issue, if they actually came to some sort of conclusion. But yes, Zelaya is still the president, the constitutional president of Honduras until January 27th. But the march today there was a large number of people there. The hope is still alive that he can be put back into power before January 27th. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of repression today as well, a heavy military presence. They actually closed off the street in front of the Congress and made the resistance movement stay in the Central Park area. And, of course, it was all the military and police were heavily armed and had their full riot gear ready for any confrontations with the protesters.
Now,
so there has not been any results, but it should be announced soon if there are any.
Now, if he is reinstated, has he said what his thoughts are of this recent election? If he's going to hold another one, does he think it's valid? Has he made any statements regarding the election at all?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure what Mr. Zelaya has said, if he's come out with anything. But I definitely know that he did not recognize the election process, nor the elections under the illegal government prior to the process. So I doubt he would recognize. I don't think he recognizes the results. Although I have not heard what his statement has been since Sunday.
Okay. As you're an organizer on the ground, Movement Through Rights Action, what are some of the initiatives that are being done to combat these election results and reinstate Zelaya as president?
Well, I mean, every day the resistance movement continues to meet. Today they met again, and this is 158 days that they've been in resistance. They continue to meet on Monday, right after the day after the elections. There was a large assembly meeting where they announced that it was very much a victory that people didn't, that 65% of the population abstained from voting. And so they continue. I mean, a lot of people, I spoke to someone today in the march, and they said that the resistance movement is stronger than ever. And so they do continue to struggle. They want President Zelaya back in power, but they will not fall short of having this constituent national assembly that, you know, basically everybody is pushing for, regardless of who's president and who's not. They want this constitutional change, and that's what they will keep struggling for. And so they continue, and I'm sure they'll have events planned for the following weeks, for the following months. And so it's just a matter of how events unfold and what happens with Zelaya that will, you know, basically change what happens.
Now, how are people that are working with Rights Action and maybe some other foreign observers, how are they being treated in Honduras? Are there repressions against them as well?
Well, with regards to foreigners that are in the country, obviously we all have very different roles. There's some international human rights observers, people that aren't formally recognized as observers, nor are they recognizing the election process. But they're here sort of accompanying the movement and sort of reporting about what's happening here. And then you have foreign journalists, obviously, that are here as well. With regards to accompaniment, I mean, we're very clearly identified. We've been allowed to enter voting centers, take pictures, and report on what's happening. Journalists, I think, have had a little bit harder time. I think a Reuters photographer on Sunday during a protest in San Pedro Sula, the second largest city in Honduras, was beaten up in one of the protests. And so I think journalists, I think it's a different kind of international community that's here, but and so everyone is sort of received differently. But in my experience, I haven't had any problem accessing what I need to access in order to report on what's happening.
But I guess an issue is getting those reports published, right, in the media. And on that line, how do you think the international community, you mentioned the United States, hasn't exactly come out against these elections. How has Canada responded, and how difficult is it sometimes to get some of these reports into the maybe Canadian media?
I mean, it's extraordinarily difficult. I think that's what we focus mostly on as Rights Action. We focus getting this news into the international community, especially in Canada and the United States. With regards to getting it, Canada's position has sort of, I think they're waiting for the United States to have more of a definite position, but they did call the elections a fair and free process, which is absolutely false and extraordinarily, you know, just like, it's so obvious that it wasn't to me in any way a fair and free process. So I think with regards to whether they will recognize the results, I think that it's sort of pending as well, and how the United States will respond is pending as well. But obviously it's very difficult getting this news reported in the international media in Canada and the United States. Once again, you know, corporate media, they may not report it, or they will report sort of what's happening with regards to Zelaya and Micheletti and less about what's happening with the movement, what's happening on the streets of Honduras, which is ultimately where the fight and the struggle is and the importance of this issue is.
So what are the any of the upcoming plans that Rights Action is doing right now in the country? And what are some of the things that you're involved with right now?
Well, I will be here for quite some time, a couple more months, mostly accompanying the movement, working with the organizations that we've worked with for many years, for about 11 years. And so we'll continue doing that. I go to the protests almost every day and talk to people on the streets and take pictures and write articles and sort of try and spread around what's happening in the streets and what's happening with the National Front Against the Coup and the resistance movement, as well as the organizations that we work with that are very much a part of that resistance movement. And so my job will continue to be an observer and an accompanier, but also in somewhat sort of reporting on what's happening here and basically supporting the resistance movement in any way that we can and the people of Honduras that continue to struggle.
Okay, well, Karen, thank you so much for being with us today. I think that this is really still an important issue that is going on that really isn't being talked about a lot in the media. And I apologize to our listeners for some of our technical difficulties, but I think that we got the message out there today. So thanks a lot, Karen. And I guess for people to find out more information, go to Rights Action website. Is that the best place?
Yes, www.rightsaction.org.
Okay, great, Karen, and good luck with all your endeavors, and hopefully things will start changing in Honduras. Okay.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great. Okay. Now, coming up on the program, Brendan is going to be talking about Afghanistan and some of the new developments in that war. So we'll just be having a short musical break, and we'll be back shortly.